This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm here in the studio and joining me from home is Mr.
Richard Bradbury.
Welcome, Richard Bradbury. It is Friday, so happy Friday to everyone. It's also Chap Gome, so happy Chap Gome as well. We are taking things a little lighter today, the story. Our question to you today is, have you been buying more toys, games for yourself or your kids during the pandemic? Why or why not? There is a poll happening on Twitter and Instagram, so that's at BFM Radio. Also, you can chat with us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And plus other stories as well. Now, this story came about because of that earth-shattering announcement about Mr. Potato Head over the news, who is now known as Potato Head for gender neutrality. But I'm only kidding. This is a story that came from the toy industry, and this is from Inc.com, right? So I'm just going to read this. The print is really small. And Richard's also looking at me at half my head from where he is. So, okay, take a guess, right? So many people have been frustrated, stressed and worried throughout the pandemic, and the toy industry has benefited greatly from that stress. It turns out when we go through tough times, most of us want to feel like we're kids all over again. And here's how retailers can take advantage of that. Of course, you know, I mean, like, you just want to, like, you know, when we're young and kids, right, we don't want to worry about anything. All the worries go to the parents. So for a window into the minds of consumers in 2021, look no further than the toy industry. U.S. toy sales grew 16% in 2020, reaching $25.1 billion, according to a Toy Association, a New York City-based national trade organization. The top categories were outdoor and sports toys at $5.35 billion, dolls at $3.64 billion, and toys for infants, toddlers, and preschoolers, $3.27 billion. And the fastest-growing category was games and puzzles, which grew sales at 32.2% between 2019 and 2020. Those stats should set some light on broader trends in retail. And while many of the categories that grew did so because of shifting customer preferences due to COVID-19, the pandemic is still not over. And given the slow vaccine rollout, it may not be over for some time.
Now, post-pandemic will likely bring even more change. And this is according to Steve Passer. He's the president and CEO of the Toy Association. And in a virtual Toy Trends briefing last week, he expects the return of live events and other activities. So in the meantime, the key is to remain nimble. Retail is going to need to continue to innovate and almost reimagine itself, as Mr. Potato Head has done. And e-commerce is going to continue to be a dominant force. This is what he's saying. And now, here are three other toy industry trends that you guys can bank on right now.
Right, and it's no surprises, right? Escapism sells, of course. You know, toys aren't just for kids. They're also for adults that are feeling burnt out from countless video meetings and pandemic-induced stress levels. Adults want toys and games that allow them to escape, as well as tap into their inner child. This is Jennifer Lynch, a toy specialist for Toy Association. She said this during the online presentation. She added that many adults in the past have turned to board games, puzzles, and crafts as a way to wind down for the workday, and adults especially willing to spend on fandoms such as licensed products from popular movies such as the Harry Potter franchise, Disney Star Wars, spin-off show The Mandalorian, or favorite sports team, for example. Of course, we also have Arvind Yuvaraj.
Of course, I wasn't going to mention him, but of course I'm going to have to in a little while, and I know he's listening. Number two, emotion regulating toys actually work. You know, toys that help regulate your emotions, and they'll continue to see a strong demand in 2021. You know, and according to the presentation that they had last week. So these are things like plush toys, like stuffed animals, and toys that offer a calming activity, like sidewalk chalk blocks or fidget toys. Other products that help with imaginary play, like costumes and magic wands, or toy kitchen sets, also fall into that category. And research has shown that make-believe games and playing out imaginary worlds help children self-regulate their emotions.
Right. And the third trend, eco-friendly and inclusive toys are tops. There goes Potato Head. We've dropped the mister. Social causes ranging from global warming to gender inequality and racial injustice will also influence toy purchase. According to the presentation, consumers will be looking for toys made from eco-friendly materials with minimal packaging. Examples include play sets that teach lessons about recycling, or plush toy that educates the child about endangered animals animals, and consumers will also be looking for diversity in dolls, characters and illustrations, and representation for all genders in role-playing toys and games. So those are the trends. So what did you buy, Richard?
You know, I was thinking about this mm-hmm. morning as I was reading through the notes as to the last toy that I bought ever. And I genuinely don't remember when I bought a toy last. I mean, the last thing I remember holding on to was when I moved into this house here. I opened a set of drawers and there was an Ultraman figurine inside the drawer. And that got me ridiculously excited because I'd never had one of those, obviously, and I'd never bought one. But that's the last toy I've kind of interacted with, and I didn't even buy it.
It came with the house.
It came with the house, yeah.
I don't know. In terms of, I don't know, maybe it's a woman's thing, but I like my games online, and I've been doing this pandemic, no pandemic, right? And I've been playing them for over 10 years, and one's for flexibility and dexterity, and one's like, you know, a word game, right? I love doing this sort of things. And that's my way of de-stressing. I do find myself playing a lot more during the pandemic, though.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, if we talk about video games, I bought some at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, last year, and I had a couple of months with that. But I very rarely touched them in the last few months because I just haven't had time. You know, it's been work after work after work. And sadly, games seem to be giving way to things like Netflix, for example.
Ah, okay. The other toy.
The other toy,
Other toy. Right. So we'll be talking to Eugene T from Help University to get some ideas of why toys have found new retail success in the pandemic. That's happening after this. So yes, do take part in our poll. Have you been buying more toys, games for yourself or your kids during the pandemic? Why not? And also on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. And we'll be right back after this. BFM. 89.9.
Blockbusters for me. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bikes. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu, and I've got Richard Bradbury reporting from home. I've adjusted the camera so he can see my face right now. Happy Chap Go Me as well. Our question today is, have you been buying more toys and games for yourself or your kids during the pandemic? Of course, that's happening on Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio. What have you got in terms of the poll results, Richard?
Well, over on Twitter so far, we've got 31.8% of people saying nope, no money. 27.1% are saying yes for myself. 21.5% saying no, don't want to. And 19.6% saying yes for my kids. A couple of messages to quickly highlight over on Twitter. Margaret has said, not me, but the other half is, it's a boy thing. Mm-hmm. And SC Koo has said, just a couple of board games.
All right, just a couple of board games. Okay, so not anything electronic. So we've got an expert here, right, Richard?
Yeah, we got in touch with Eugene T. He's the author and associate professor at the Department of Psychology over at Help University to get some idea of why toys have found new retail success in the pandemic. So we started off by asking, have you bought more toys or games or leisure or escapism-related products over the course of the pandemic? And if so, what did you buy? And if not, why not?
Sure have. So for the past several months, I've been treating myself to a few sets of Lego and also recently tried out a paint by sticker activity book. I've also tried out a few new origami models and paper folding, for instance, has been something that I did learn to do a while back and only recently found myself picking up again and enjoying more actually during the pandemic. So I think the work from home arrangements and prolonged periods that we spend in front of the screen have resulted in a number of us actually taking to appreciating and enjoying more old school, less digital forms of entertainment and leisure. I did find myself wanting to pull away from even the latest, most exciting computer game or even Netflix series after a long day of lecturing and online meetings because of screen fatigue during this time. And while it's also true that there's been a surge in Netflix subscriptions and an increase in sales of home entertainment consoles like the Nintendo Switch, there have also been recent reports indicating an increase in sales of action figures, plush toys, and tabletop games.
Right. And what do you think is the psychological appeal, especially now in such stressful times, of purchasing these play-related products?
I think we're seeing people wanting a digital detox in terms of entertainment. And so they find ways to detach and unplug, both mentally and I think sensory-wise as well, from screens. So it's a form of escapism, and that's really a form of regulating our emotions, so to speak. And I think this reflects a broader societal clamoring for pastimes and activities that offer a richer tactile experience, touchable tangibility, if you will. I recall speaking a bit about skin hunger or touch deprivation in a previous segment. So engaging in leisurely activities that require more physical, actual movement, motor movements, allows us to physically manipulate, move, construct models from components like building blocks. All this seem to fulfill this need, right? And to sort of address the skin hunger that we're going to. And I think that also adds to the appeal of such forms of entertainment and leisure and pastimes. You could probably guess that soft plush toys have a similar, even comforting effect. And I think that's also something to be said about the appeal of franchises that some of us enjoyed growing up. Star Wars, Transformers, as examples. So toys, collectibles, or games featuring characters from these beloved franchises also offer us a nostalgic hit.
Eugene, very important question. Do you think there's a stigma with adults buying toys and games? Why or why not?
So I think there's an impression we form that adults who buy toys and games are immature or wasteful, and the image of, say, a mature age man. And so this image of them still spending their wages on toys, action figures, tabletop games, figurines, they don't necessarily convey the prototype or the image of success. But fortunately, and I think this is good, that's slowly starting to change, and for good reason too. So anything in excess is, of course, problematic. But toys and games reconnect many of us to the past. A familiar, safe, nostalgic walk down our childhoods. The only difference is that now most of us are earning enough to set aside some for our toys and games. I don't think it's a coincidence that we are seeing a revival of sorts in terms of merchandising and new releases for many classic 80s franchises, catering to those of us who grew up during that time. Transformers and Star Wars, of course, but I'm also thinking Ninja Turtles, Thundercats, My Little Pony, Polly Pocket. Some of the more recent, I should say, Lego models too, are marketed to adult builders, which, if you notice, have a new classy black packaging design. And it also comes with a tagline, "Adults Welcome," on the company's official website.
And is there a way for even non-toy or game enthusiasts to understand our need for escapism right now?
So if you want to see what the fuss is about, ask a friend who enjoys or collects such toys or games and ask them why they find it enjoyable. Ask a friend to show you their collection. They'll go on for ages about it. But better yet, I think, arrange a get-together with over some friendly card or tabletop gaming that might introduce you to an enjoyable alternative to digital forms of entertainment. My friends have enjoyed, I would say, cheekier, more mature audience, but still very simple card games like Cards Against Humanity, political confessions. They're simple enough to learn and often bring lots of laughter in our catch-ups. You don't have to break the bank, and certainly I'm not recommending or saying, requesting anyone to splurge on a new toy or game. Just ask around and see any of your friends have these non-digital games that can be enjoyed in the company of others.
And final question, do you think we'll still need this amount of escapism even post-pandemic?
I think we'll always need to have some form of escapism, and healthy ways of detaching from the stresses we experience. With the pandemic, the added pressure and strain comes from the excessive hours we spend in front of our screens. The sensory strain, I should add, that comes from paying attention to online meetings, dealing with lags and poor connectivity issues, not being able to see the person you're communicating with. These can all take a toll on our well-being. What I think will happen is that, considering how distance or remote working and learning might be here, even after most of us get vaccinated, is that we'll continue to appreciate and perhaps even rely more on non-digital forms of entertainment as a healthy form of escapism.
You know what? He just reminded me of something. I ended up buying Cards Against Humanity not too long ago, about a year and a half ago. And it's the kind of game that really makes you realize who your friends really are.
Okay.
Okay. No, something he said, of course, that was Eugene T. from Help University. And he was just saying about touch deprivation, right? And so one of the things that I have sort of like, you know, played around with, it's a bit of art, right? Poor art. It's nothing, you know, but there's a lot. Then you look at the colors, you know, there's a lot of, you know, moving around with the objects. I go for my walks. That's my getting out there with the sensory. And if I see that little cute dog, well, it's not little, the dog, right? That's my, you know, I just sort of play with the dogs if I see them, right? So that's that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, with that in mind, it's the thing that I've been doing is spending a lot more time in the garden, you know? So I suppose it's a very similar thing. You've got your dogs, I've got the cats, the street cats that come up, you know, and I'm making sure that the garden looks nice. In some way, it's just having a bit of something that's tactile. You feel like you're doing, I'm not building Legos,
right.
You know, I'm planting plants or I'm cutting something back. So yeah, similar kind of thing, I guess.
Right.
In some-
and of course, we need our sun. Our question to you today is, have you been buying more toys, games for yourself or your kids during the pandemic? Why or why not? Let us know. Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. After this story on Airbnb. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.